Hey, welcome to our share. Very interesting share about whiskey. I had to post a picture of whiskey, post a picture of spirits, and I knew people would come. So that's just the kind of people that the Jewish people are. You say scotch, you say whiskey, and they come running. They think Kiddush, they think Kiddush club, they think clandestine, unsanctioned Kiddush clubs, and all kinds of interesting things. We know the halacha is that on Pesach, not only is one not allowed to eat chametz, leavened products, not only are they not allowed to drink chametz, not only are they not allowed to have benefit from chametz, but even if one owned chametz, that's a problem. You're not even allowed to own chametz. Thus, we check our house for chametz. We sell to a non-Jew the chametz that we have. We annul and declare ownerless any chametz that we may not know about it. These are all problems and issues. More than that, if one had chametz, one was an owner of chametz in their property, then after Pesach, that chametz becomes prohibited. It's aser. It's called chametz chaver lava Pesach. And you're not allowed to derive benefit from it, and you're not allowed to eat it. Which, by the way, creates a very strong issue for certain people, myself included. Every once in a while, a friend of mine will say to me, Rabbi Landau, I got you a nice bottle. I bought it for you. I said this to me recently. I bought it 6 or 7 months ago. He told me this like in the summer. And it's because COVID and everything, I don't have a chance to give it to you. I want to make sure I give it to you. I'm very concerned about that bottle because you see that the fellow that wanted to give it to me is not an observant Jew. I don't think he keeps pace the laws of Pesach at all. Really didn't sell his bottle. He bought it. He said he bought it 6 months ago. That's chametz shavu lava Pesach. What am I supposed to do with it? Well, these halachas are challenging, and we'll see that these halachas are very interesting because they're not as simple as they sound. So we begin by posing four different questions, four different scenarios, and trying to understand the halacha in those scenarios. Number one is, let's say there's a Jewish-owned distillery. And the owners are not religious, they're not observant, they probably don't even know what chametz is. And they're selling their liquor, their bourbon, all over the place. That could be a potential question. Are you allowed to use that? You're not allowed to derive benefit from it. So what do we do? And it happens to be that this is a big prep. Bourbon is a big question because one of the very, very large distributors of bourbon in the Northeast is a Jewish-owned company. And if they buy it and it's in there, you know, it's in their warehouses, it's in their storehouses over Pesach. Could be it's a problem. Even some of the distilleries, not most, but some of the distilleries do have Jewish shareholders, which in itself is a whole different discussion, which we're not going to get into it. Is that a problem? If you're a shareholder, you have to sell your chametz. And if you don't, does the chametz become aser? But again, just to distill the question, really the question is as far, oh, you got it. Really, the question, and then we'll try to bring a lot of proofs. So, anyways, to distill the question is, if let's say a non-Jewish distillery, a Jewish distillery did not sell their chametz, are you allowed to buy bourbon, scotch, rye, whiskey, vodka, whatever it may possibly be? Number two, how about a store? There are liquor stores in New Jersey that are owned by Jewish people that definitely don't sell their chametz. You walk into there a week after Pesach and buy yourself a single malt, a 15-year-old Balvenie. You're allowed to do that. It's a question. Number three, what happens if you forget to sell your chametz? I don't know. You go away, you're busy, Pesach, Airbnbs, a thousand different things. Pesach passes. And all of a sudden, you realize you didn't sell your chametz. Now, let's focus on spirits. And you have an extensive liquor cabinet, a wonderful bar, a liquor cellar stocked with some of the most fantastic, beautiful single malts. And very rare types of, you know, very rare types of spirits. You didn't sell your chametz. What do you, Mark, you have one of those? Okay. What do you do? What do you do? And then finally, well, how about a store that does sell their chametz, but they remain open the whole Pesach selling the chametz that doesn't belong to them? Does that annul the sale? And if so, everything that's there is prohibited, or maybe not. And then finally, we had a shiur on this a few years ago on the duty-free store in Natbag, in Namal Teufa Ben Gurion in Israel. It's called James Richardson. Why? No one knows. But it's called James Richardson. And that's a store which is open a whole Pesach long and sells all kinds of chametz. Problem is, are you allowed to buy their whiskey? I don't know, in your summer. You want to bring back a few good bottles, might as well leave some, drop some money on the Israeli economy. And all of a sudden, you realize, my gosh, this is a Jewish-owned store. Of course. And the problem is, did they sell their chametz? And if they did, They're open every single day of the year, including Pesach and Shabbos and everything else. I don't know about Yom Kippur, maybe not Yom Kippur. But am I allowed to buy stuff from them? And if I did, what do I do? You know, is it my duty to return it or not? These are all the questions that we need to understand. So to approach this, we need to understand a fascinating Mishnah and then see if this discussion has anything to do with this Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Maseches Pesachim, Elu Ovrim, these type of foods and drink, if one keeps them, according to Rashi, one eats them, according to Rabbeinu Tam, but you violate a prohibition of either eating it or having it in your property. And it lists in the Mishnah a bunch of different things. One of the things that the Mishnah lists is Shechar Hamadi, Median beer. I never had any Median beer. I'm sure it's delicious, but Median beer. The Gemara says that actually Median beer is not really essentially chametz itself. However, they add into this beer Mei Seorim Sheyachmitzu, barley, liquid barley that fermented. So I don't know if you want to call that hops, fermented hops, malt, whatever you want to call it. They add that into this drink, and that's the Mishnah when the Mishnah says that it's really essentially not. So the Rush says like this. The Rush there on the back of the Gemara says that everybody agrees that if you make regular beer, we're talking about straight up beer, you know, made from hops, not what the Gemara is talking, not Sheikh or Hamadi, regular beer. Everybody would agree, Rashi Tosfos, that just having it in your property, you violate Bal. Therefore, says the Rush, you're not allowed to leave beer in your property over Pesach. What do you have to do? Drink it. But if you do, it's a problem. The Mishnah Berurah rules this way. And the Mishnah Berurah says if you have beer in your property, you have to get rid of your beer. And if you leave it, you violate Bal, the prohibition of having chametz in your property. And the Mishnah Berurah says more than that. Even if the beer that you're drinking doesn't have chametz today, achilas pras, which means to say that there's, in order to violate a Torah prohibition, you have to eat a certain amount of prohibited matter within a particular time, period of time and drink a particular period of a matter, amount of whatever it is within a particular period of time. Halacha is, says the Mishnah Berurah, even if in the beer that you have, you don't have enough chametz in kedei achilas pras, let's say you're drinking scotch, let's say for a moment, we'll get to scotch in a minute, but there's not enough chametz in kedei achilas pras. However, it has the taste of the malt. It has the taste of the distilled alcohol, which is a grain taste. If it says the Mishnah Berurah, then it would be prohibited. So that's beer. Beer is straight up chametz. But whiskey, spirits that were the harder spirits, whiskey, rye, bourbon, those are a much bigger question in halacha. Because I didn't know this. It's very interesting. You could watch videos, you could read up on it, how they make scotch or bourbon or vodka. So how do they make it? So what they do is they take wheat, let's just say for a moment, and they soak the wheat until the wheat grows a little pale and it turns into malt. Then they take that wheat and the liquid or whatever they take, and they boil it at very, very high temperatures. And when it boils, it gives off steam. The steam goes into a series of very complex curved pipes. And eventually, that steam is turned in back into a liquid, and that is your alcohol spirit, very concentrated alcohol. Now, it depends what you're making, scotch, bourbon, rye, everything's going to be a little bit different in how many times you distill it and how concentrated it is. Vodka is probably not less, and others are more. They have multiple distillery vats. Bourbon only has one very tall one. There's a lot of, it has to be in Kentucky. There's a lot of different ways. But the bottom line is, this is the most important part of this whole shiloh. The question is whiskey even chametz? Why? Because the Torah prohibits a person to eat and drink leavened products. This is not a food. It's not a liquid. What happened? You had a food. Then you took it and you turned it into steam. And now you took that steam and you turned it back into liquid. Is that considered chametz anymore? It's re, what's the word I'm looking for? It's reconstituted. Going. It's reconstituted. In halacha, is that even considered chametz? And this is a very substantial and serious question in halacha. So, there's a big question that's actually halacha also comes back into play when we speak about yayin nesach. right? You're not allowed to drink wine or spirits that were poured for Avodah Zarah, for idols. And the question is, how about stuff that was distilled? Is that considered wine or is it not considered wine? In halacha, we call steam zeya. Zeya means sweat. This is not the actual chametz. It's not the actual wine that's prohibited. It's the zeya. It's the sweat. So pertaining to the ayin nesach, the prohibited, the prohibition of using wine or spirits that were distilled for avodah zarah, their zeya, sweat, condensation, is considered like yayin nesach, and it's prohibited. An additional application to this would be tumah. We know that if, let's say, a person comes in contact with a dead body, all kinds of different things, there's tumah, there's ritual, spiritual contamination. What happens if you have a bath? And in the bath is a dead body, a hot bath. I know this sounds disgusting, but it is. A hot bath, and in the bath is a dead body. You put your hand into the water, you become tumah. Become ritually impure. Now what happens if, let's say, you don't put your hand in it, but there's steam rising up from this bath, and you touch the steam. Says the Mishnah, you're tameh, you're ritually impure. So both by yayin nesach and by tumah, by ritual contamination, halacha is that zeya, sweat, is prohibited just like the actual thing itself. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, paskens that way. By yayin nesach, it says that zeya, steam, reconstituted steam, is also like the wine itself. Because of this, the Chacham Tzvi, the great halachic of the decisor, says that Huadin, when it comes to Pesach, similarly when it comes to Pesach, the same way when it comes to Yayin Esach, wine, the same way our spirits, for Avodah Zarah, same way when it comes to Tumah, ritual contamination, sweat is considered the actual object itself, so too by Pesach, and therefore he paskins, the Chacham Tzvi paskins, that if a person has any type of spirits, scotch, bourbon, whiskey, whatever, rye, whatever it is they have in their house, you have to get rid of it before Pesach or sell it. One of those two. But you cannot have it. And if you have it, it's like regular chametz. And if you keep regular chametz in your home and you own it, you can never have it. You can't even have benefit. That's what the Chacham Tzvi rules. And we're going to see in a minute that it's not as simple as it sounds. But let's move on a little bit just to understand the parameters of chametz sh'avar alav ha-pesach. Why is it that if a person had chametz in their property, they owned the chametz, and then they didn't sell it, and now it's after Pesach, the halacha is that they're not allowed to derive any benefit. They're not allowed to eat it or drink it. So this is the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, and the Chachas of an Alpha Mishnah, chametz shel Yisrael, a Jewish-owned chametz sh'avar alav ha-pesach, it's prohibited to derive benefit. The Gemara says later on Chavtes Amnaf that Rava says it's only forbidden. The rabbis gave a person a penalty, a fine, a knas, since they violated Bal Yiron, Bal Yimatzeh, owning chametz over Pesach. The rabbi said you can't eat it. More than that, you can't even derive benefit. And the Rambam rules that this prohibition is even accidental. A guy forgot to sell his chametz. He didn't know he had it. Even so, rules the Rambam, after Pesach is over, it's usher, and they can never have any benefit. So it would seem, if you hold that zeya, that sweat, is considered chametz mamish, regular chametz, if you keep it in your property, you violate by Iran, by Imata, the prohibition of owning, of having chametz in your jurisdiction, in your property. Oh, if you didn't sell your stuff, even by mistake, you didn't know the halacha. You're a non-kosher distillery, non-Jewish, you're a non-religious distillery. You don't even know about the halachas of chametz. The halacha is, it still becomes Pesach, at least according to Asra and Pesach, and even after Pesach, according to the opinion of the Chacham. However, this is not as simple as it sounds, as we'll see in a minute. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav brings down a Haggah, a gloss, that says the following. He says, since it's not possible to drink, let's just say, the shear of scotch, 4 ounces of scotch, a revius of scotch, 5 ounces, within a kedei achilas kras. People don't chug scotch. And if they do, it shows what a rookie they are. You take scotch, you sip it, you taste it, you swirl it, and then you go, brrr. Or if you're like me, you chase it, but you do something. It says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, since the halacha is that a person since the Metzius is that a person doesn't drink scotch, the amount of scotch necessary in the usual prohibited amount period, limited period of time, halacha is, biblically, it is not asr. It's not asr biblically. And even if you do it, you're not eating it in a normal fashion, drinking it in a normal fashion. It's only asr, only prohibited, midrabbanan, rabbinically. So he says, therefore, the halacha is, there is no knas of chametz shabbos on a Pesach. You're not supposed to keep it. But if you did, since the whole prohibition is only rabbinic, it's permitted. So my friend who brought me that bottle, according to this Hagam and Shulchan Aruch Harav, didn't do it maliciously. He didn't know it was usher. And he didn't know that he's supposed to sell it. And Pesach passed. And it's a bottle of scotch. The whole prohibition on Pesach was only drabban and rabbinic anyways. They didn't say it's prohibited. Because of chametz Pesach passed. Yes, Josh.
Is this only if you hold that it's a that it's a kenas, that only if you hold it's a for chametz avol Pesach is a kenas afterwards?
Yes.
A shavuot to shavuot. Is that what you're saying?
It's part of one gezerah derabbanan, which is that any chametz that you violate by your own body matzah, you don't always say this is shavuot to shavuot, but it's derabbanan. Yeah, it's like a double derabbanan. Like you're saying you could.
It's a double derabbanan.
That is what the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch around. But he gives two caveats. So don't hang up now. He gives two caveats. Caveat number one, he says, is that the liquor, the chametz, the leavened component of what you're drinking, is not there for taste. It's just there for the kick. That means to say, sometimes we add chametz for a taste, and sometimes we add it for the alcoholic content. If it's there for the alcoholic content, it's not a problem. But if the chametz is there to bolster the taste, that's a problem. That's caveat number one. And caveat number two is, it's only mutter, it's only permitted in a case of hefsid gadol, where there's a big loss. But if it's one or two bottles, no. So you gave up one or two bottles to keep halacha. This is what the Shulchan Aruch Harav says. The Sdei Chemed has a very interesting question. There was a woman who owned a liquor store. A woman owned a liquor store. And the liquor store was a family. This was the sole basis of their livelihood. What happens? Her husband passes away 3-4 months before Pesach. And then the woman is so busy trying to put Pesach together for her and her orphans, she totally forgets about selling the store. And she has an entire store of whiskey and scotch and all kinds of hard liquor that wasn't sold for Pesach. After Pesach, she nearly faints. She comes running to the Sdei Chemed and she says, Rebbe, I can't believe it. I didn't sell my chametz. This is all I have. This is my whole livelihood. I don't have any savings. I have nothing. I have little children. I'm destitute. What did I do? The Sdei Chemed felt like he didn't have broad enough shoulders to issue a ruling. So he contacted another rabbi called the Malbim, the famous commentator. And he asked the Malbim what he should do. And the Malbim says that he was, because of this Shulchan Aruch Harav, we just quoted previously, in a place of tremendous hefsah, of a tremendous loss. Layered onto that, taking into effect the almana, the widow, the yesomim and the orphans that would be the destitute, he permitted the woman to keep her liquor and to sell her liquor. That's the opinion of the Sdei Chemed, following in line somewhat with this Haggah on the Shulchan Aruch Harav. The Mishkanos Yaakov says a beautiful svara, a beautiful, beautiful piece of logic to differentiate between Yayin Nesach, wine or spirits that were poured for Avodah Zarah, that we consider the Zeya, we consider the condensation like the object itself, or even Tumah, impurity, like we said, if a person puts their hands into the steam over a hot bath with a dead body in it, though that it's considered like the dead body itself. However, Chametz, he says, is very different. And it's such a simple logical spot. It says like this. When you have the prohibited grapes and they're fermenting, and now you run them at a very high temperature and you're trying to make some kind of sherry or whatever it is, and the condensation comes up from it, that condensation is coming from something that's prohibited. Wine, it's Yayin Nesach. It's a wine of Avodah Zarah, of idols. Similarly, he says, when you have steam coming from a bath with a dead body, that steam is coming from the dead body. He says, But when you make liquor, the liquor's not prohibited. The alcohol's not prohibited. It's coming from kosher, beautiful stuff. It's made in the month of November. So it's not the pshat that the condensation came from something that's asr. It came from hops. It came from malt. It came from whatever wheat, whatever you use to make it. Now you want to say later, when it's already been reconstituted, oh, it's asr because if it would have been chametz, it would have been asr. You can't do that. Right now, it's not chametz. And when you harvested it, it wasn't chametz either. It wasn't prohibited. Says the Mishkanos Yaakov, tremendous difference between these two cases. In his words, Banim Chadashos Ba'olikam, a brand new entity came here. It doesn't stem from something that's prohibited. Therefore, says the Mishkanos Yaakov, in this situation, there's a reason perhaps to be matir, to be a little bit more lenient. I'm sorry, it's the opinion of the Tzitz Eliezer, much more reasonable than Rabbi Grab Baldenberg. Mishnos Yaakov says something different. He says that by Yayin Nesach, by prohibited wine, wine of Avodah Zarah, even if you burn it and all you're left with is ash, the ash is prohibited. We see by Avodah Zarah that any semblance, any way, shape, or form of the Avodah Zarah of the idols is prohibited. But we don't find that, he says, by Pesach. If you burn a roll, you burn a loaf of bread, the ashes are not asur on Pesach. They lose their identity. So he says the same thing as when you distill it, if you turn it into steam. That's no different than ashes. Therefore, maybe it's mutter. So we have three opinions that are matter. We have the Shulchan Aruch Rav, who says that you can't drink the right enough in the right amount of time. We have the Mishkanos Yaakov that says it's been deconstituted and reconstructed and everything, and therefore deconstructed and reconstituted, and therefore it's not asur. And then we have the Tzitz Eliezer that says that you can't compare it the Yayin Nesach because Avodah Zarah wine was Aser, Tameh was Tameh. But here it wasn't, and later you want to consider it like that thing, that's a little bit of a stretch. Therefore, writes the Tzitz Eliezer to be Matir. He said the following, similar to the case of Listei Chemet. There was a woman that asked her son before Pesach to please sell all the liquor in her house. She was making a wedding a week after Pesach, and she had bought liquor for the wedding, for the L'chaim Tish, for the Sheva Brachas. And it seems like this family was a very spiritually inclined family, and she bought a lot of whiskey. She bought a lot of booze. And then her son, she said, please sell the chametz for me. I'm making you an agent to sell my chametz. He forgot to sell it for his mom. After Pesach, it comes mom. He goes, we have a problem. You know the $1,000 that you dropped for all that liquor, the $2,000, $3,000, I totally forgot to sell it. The Tzitz Eliezer permitted the woman to use it. Number one, he says that it's a hefsid merubah, it's a lot. Number two, he said that she was an almana, she was a widow, it seemed like. And it would, more than that, it would cause her daughter pain to see her mom in pain and not to necessarily be able to afford the appropriate liquor. But he told the mother that she needs to take a substantial amount of money and give it to tzedakah. He doesn't want her to feel that she's just walking away from this and everything is good. It's not good. You made a mistake and you should have seen it through. And I want you to feel the pinch. So take some money, give it to the tzedakah of your choice. But say, I'm giving this money of tzedakah, so I feel the pinch. So next year, I won't buy mistake. I'll make sure to do it 100%. They did permit her that. The Mishnah Berurah, however, rules that, one second, so like this. So right where we're holding right now, maybe there's a reason to be matir, a reason to permit a person to use spirits, that Chametz passed, the Pesach passed, based on all these opinions. But Lamaisa, all of them say the same thing, that there has to be Hefsa Meruba. There has to be a big loss. It has to be a big financial setback. There has to be another factor. There has to be something else. You can't just say, oh, I didn't sell my Chametz. I forgot to sell it. I have 5-10 bottles of whiskey. No, those are prohibited. All of them would agree in that situation that it's prohibited. Now, there's another layer to this Shaila, and that's called Safek Chametz Sha'avar Aloha Pesach. You walk into a liquor store and you don't know if the owner is Jewish. You think he may be. Your friend gives you a bottle and you don't want to ask, you don't ask him if he sold his chametz. So it's a suffix, it's a doubt. So the Mishnah Berurah brings two opinions about suffix chametz shavalah pesach. Chametz shavalah pesach that's not sure if it was sold. One, opinion number one says that you can't eat it, but you could derive benefit. And opinion number two, the Mishnah Berurah brings, says that you're even allowed to eat. So like this, if let's say you have chametz shavalah pesach liquor, and that liquor that you have, you're not sure if it was sold. Maybe yes, maybe no, maybe the sale wasn't done properly, maybe it was. So like this, to sell it to somebody else, it would seem, even according to the Mishnah Berurah, you could do it. Because if it's a chametz shavah pesach pesavik, Mishnah Berurah says, everyone agrees that you could sell. A lot of derived benefits. But according to the second opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, you could even drink it. You could even drink it because it's not sure if it's chametz shavah pesach. So this has tremendous ramification yet, Josh.
So you sound like you're differentiating between drinking it and hana as achila, a shtia, and hana as monetary benefit, and shtia is a big emitter.
Yes, correct. I'm saying that. What I'm trying to say is that if it's a suffix, if you're not sure if it was chametz shel Pesach, it's a disagreement if it's prohibited to be eaten or not. That means to say, one opinion says if it's a suffix, it's only derabbanon anyways, it's only rabbinic anyways, and usually we're lenient. Not only could you derive benefit from it, you could even eat it or drink it. And the other opinion says, no, you're allowed to derive benefit, but you can't eat it or drink it. So what I'm saying is, if you happen to have chametz shel Pesach, that you're not sure about it, let's say you have a bottle of whiskey and someone gives you, not sure if they sold it, according to this opinion, you definitely could sell it further. You could gift it to a non-Jew, let's just say for a moment. But to drink it, then already you'd be getting to this machlokas, and it's probably better not to drink it. That's what would come out of this Mishnah. And I just want to take a moment and talk a little bit about the, because this is a very practical challenge. So here's a good, nice piece of news. Halal, at least I'm sure now, when they're owned by an Orthodox Jew, but even when they were not owned by an Orthodox Jew, Halal sold all the chametz in their duty free. More than that, Halal closed all alcoholic beverages to sale throughout the entire Pesach, even Pesach Sheni. Even the eighth day of Pesach, which in Israel is not Pesach, they did not sell their liquor. What's the reason for that? Because Rav Shmuel Vosner paskined for them, for the rabbi of Elal, believe it or not, Elal has a rabbi. And the rabbi of Elal went to Rav Shmuel Vosner, the rabbi of Bnei Brak, not that far away from the airport, and said to him, listen, if I sell the chametz for Elal, they're not religious, the people there, you know, many of the people on the board. If I sell the chametz and they continue to sell it on Pesach, is that a problem? And Rav Shmuel Vosner said, yes. He says, if somebody sells his store to a guy, but he continues to do business on Pesach, says Rav Shmuel Vosner, then the whole sale is a joke. He's showing that the sale was never serious. So because of that, the rabbi of Halal got Halal to agree to shut down all sales of chametz, of liquor, on Pesach, the entire 8 days of Pesach, so you could buy liquor on an Halal flight. Not a problem at all. The bigger issue is James Richard. So we gave a whole shiur about James Richardson in the past, but I'll just add one thing. If James Richardson sells their chametz and they're open an entire Pesach, then we get into a very big machlokas. Rav Shmuel Vosner and others hold that halacha is, like we just said a moment ago, that since your store is still open and selling it, clearly you still feel it's yours. You never really sold it to the non-Jew. And therefore the halacha is, you cannot buy from them. And you cannot buy from them a whole year because you never know if the bottle you're buying, maybe one of the bottles that was there on Pesach, which is very probable before Pesach. Shmuel Vosner with Paskin, you can. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, on the other hand, said no such thing. Seems to have a Moshe Feinstein like this as well. If you sign a legal document, you make a kinyan, the owner of James Richardson himself, real name, the Uncle Horowitz, but James Richardson sounds more duty-free-ish. So if let's say you sell, let's say he sells his chametz. As long as he signs the documents, he makes the necessary kinyan and acts of acquisition, it doesn't make a difference if the guy has his store open, if he's drinking the chametz on Pesach. But the bottom line is we have halachas. We have laws of commerce. And if a person signs a document, that's a legal sale. So now the guy that bought it from him wants to take him to task, how come you're selling my chametz? He could do that. But it's still considered a sale. And at least according to the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, a person could purchase, if a person did purchase liquor from the duty-free James Richardson at Tel Aviv Airport, in Tel Aviv Airport, they have what to rely upon to drink that liquor. One more fascinating layer to this is that the Mishnah Halachos, Rav Menashe Hakut Klein, paskins that the knessos, that the fines, the penalties levied against people only apply to somebody who the penalty will do something. So you have a regular person. He wasn't careful about selling his chametz. You're not going to let him use his chametz. Next year, he's going to be more careful. But if the guy is a mummer, halachically means somebody who doesn't give a hoot about religion. Let's just say, to make for argument's sake, he's anti-religion. He He doesn't give a hoot if you tell him it's asr. Yeah, you should know all your comments is asr. He's like, watch, l'chaim. Then we don't penalize him because the penalty is for naught, which is a big chiddush. Doesn't seem like this is the consensus. But it is another reason, perhaps, to permit the wine at James Richards. Because if it's owned, I guess it's all, by the way, hypothetically, I have no idea who owns it. But if it's owned by a fellow who doesn't care about Pesach, sells chametz, drinks chametz on Pesach himself, could be the whole penalty of penalizing a person for owning chametz doesn't apply. And if so, there's no problem of chametz or love of Pesach. So therefore, like this, I would recommend that if you are going to Israel, which Hashem should all help us be able to do very soon. Craziness, the airport's still closed. If you are going to Israel and you would like to bring back duty free, you probably should not buy it from James Richards. You should buy it from on the plane. It may be a little bit more expensive, probably not much more, because you're buying from El Al that sells the chametz. Let's say you did buy it, or someone gives you something that was bought. We have Shlomo Zalman Orbach to rely upon. And the halacha is, you probably could drink it. And if you want to be really strict, gift it to a non-Jewish person, sell it on eBay or something like that. Because having hana, having benefit from it, is probably for sure okay according to this. So bottom line is, it is worthwhile, before you buy bourbon particularly, go on the Star K website, the CRC website, maybe the OU has one as well, there's a kosher liquor list, and look which bourbons are acceptable, because not all of them are. Some of them are from a Chametz Rav Lava Pesach. If let's say you did buy it, or let's say someone gifted it to you, halakhically you probably have something to rely upon to use it, and even if you don't want to necessarily use it, but you probably could derive benefit by giving it away to somebody else on a business client or something like that, and then be okay with it. But just to remind each and every one of us that we should make sure that if we do have any type of spirits, we should make sure that we sell it before Pesach, so we don't run into all these problems and issues. You don't call me up after Pesach and say, oh, I forgot this my stuff. Don't forget. It's much easier that way, and you could drink as many l'chaims as you want after Pesach. Okay, that concludes the share. Any questions, comments, or criticism?
You might be interested to know that my father-in-law, Zichron Yivracha, he used to live in Sotmar. And apparently, one day, a whole barrel of Slivovitz was found after Pesach, and they hadn't sold it. They took it down to the river, and they emptied it into the river.
And there was a bunch of really drunk fish then. Interesting. Fascinating. Yes, Josh?
No, just interesting story. I did a bris on a non-from couple. And as a gift, they gave me Blanton. It's a bourbon. It happens to be one of those that is a problem. Oh, yeah. So for doing a mitzvah, I have this bottle sitting here that I think is Chametz Rav Lava Pesach, and I don't know what, I'm scared to drink it.
I would say differently. You did one mitzvah, so Hashem gave you another mitzvah, being able to not drink it.
Yes, I agree.
He wants to see, he upped the ante a little bit. Oh, anyone could do a bris. Let's see if Josh's not going to drink that bourbon, then he really makes the cut.
It's on my thing, and I have a table. I have to get rid of it.
You probably give it to a business associate, somebody, one of your people in your office. If you want to rely on this opinion, you probably could. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for paying attention and for participating. You should have a wonderful, amazing week. We look forward to learning next week on Tuesday night. We are not having a shir. I have a wedding, but Baruch Hashem, it's for good reasons. Be well, Hatzlach Rabbah.
Thank you.